I took her in my arms again and drew her to me. And suddenly, she became small in my arms, small and nestling. It was gone. The resistance was gone. And she began to melt in a marvelous peace. And as she melted small and wonderful in my arms, she became infinitely desirable to me. All my blood vessels seemed to scald with intense, yet tender desire for her softness, for the penetrating beauty of her in my arms, passing into my blood. And softly, with a caress of my hand in pure, soft desire, softly I stroked the silky slope of her loins, down, down between her soft, warm buttocks, coming nearer and nearer to the very quick of her. And she felt me like a flame of desire, yet tender. And she felt herself melting in the flame. She let herself go. She felt me rise against her with a silent, amazing force and assertion. And she let herself go to me. She yielded with a quiver that was like death. And she went all open to me. And oh, if I were not tender to her now, how cruel. She was all open to me and helpless. She quivered again at the potent, inexorable entry inside her, so strange and terrible. It might come with the thrust of a sword in her softly opened body, and that would be death. She clung in a sudden anguish of terror, but it came with a strange, slow thrust of peace, the dark thrust of peace, and a ponderous primordial tenderness, such as made the world in the beginning. And her terror subsided in her breast. Her breast dared to be gone in peace. She held nothing. She dared to let go everything, all herself, and be gone in the flood.
And it seemed I was like the sea, nothing but dark waves rising and heaving. Heaving with a great swell, so that slowly my whole darkness was in motion, and I was the ocean, rolling its dark, dumb mass. Oh, and far down inside me, the deeps parted and rolled asunder in long, far-traveling billows, and ever at the quick of me, the depths parted and rolled asunder from the center of soft plunging, and the plunger went deeper and deeper, touching lower, and I was deeper and deeper and deeper disclosed, and heavier the billows of me rolled away to some shore, uncovering me. And closer plunged the palpable unknown, and further rolled the waves of myself away from myself, leaving me, till suddenly, in a soft, shuddering convulsion, the quick of all my plasm was touched. I knew myself touched. The consummation was upon me, and I was gone. I was gone. I was not. And I was born a woman. Ah, too lovely, too lovely. In the ebbing, I realized all the loveliness. Now all my body clung with tender love to the unknown man, as he so tenderly, frailly, unknowingly withdrew after the fierce thrust of his potency. As he drew out and left my body, the secret sensitive thing, I gave an unconscious cry of pure loss. It had been so perfect, and I loved it so.
It was a night of sensual passion, in which she was a little startled and almost unwilling, yet pierced again with the piercing thrills of sensuality, different, sharper, more terrible than the thrills of tenderness, but at the moment, more desirable. Though a little frightened, she let me have my way, and the reckless, shameless sensuality shook her to her foundations, stripped her to the very last, and made a different woman of her. It was not really love. It was not voluptuousness. It was sensuality, sharp and searing as fire, burning the soul to tinder, burning out the shames, the deepest, oldest shames in the most secret places. It cost her an effort to let me have my way, and my will of her. She had to be a passive, consenting thing, like a slave, a physical slave. Yet the passion licked around her, consuming, and when the sensual flame of it pressed through her bowels and breast, she really thought she was dying. Yet a poignant, marvelous death. The first girl I had, I began with when I was 16. She was a schoolmaster's daughter over at Ollerton. Pretty. Beautiful, really. She was the romantic sort that hated commonness. She egged me on to poetry and reading. In a way, she made a man of me. And about everything I talked to her, but everything. We were the most literary, cultured couple in 10 counties. I held forth with rapture to her, positively with rapture. I simply went out in smoke, and she adored me. The serpent in the grass was sex. She somehow didn't have any, at least not where it's supposed to be. I got thinner and crazier. Then I said, we've got to be lovers. I talked her into it, as usual, so she let me. Oh, I was excited, and she never wanted it. She just didn't want it. She adored me. She loved me to talk to her and kiss her. In that way, she had a passion for me. But the other, she just didn't want. And there are lots of women like her. And it was just the other that I did want. So there we split. I was cruel and left her. Then I took on with another girl, a teacher, who had made a scandal by carrying on with a married man and driving him nearly out of his mind. Oh, she was soft, white-skinned sort of a woman, older than me, and played the fiddle. She was a demon. She loved everything about love, except the sex. Clinging, caressing, creeping into you in every way. But if you forced her to sex itself, she just ground her teeth and sent out hate. Well, I forced her to it, and she could simply nub me with hate because of it. So I was balked again, and I loathed all that. I wanted a woman who wanted me and wanted it. Then came Bertha Coots. They'd lived next door to us when I was a little lad, so I knew them all right. And they were common. Well, Bertha went away to some place or other in Birmingham, she said, as a lady's companion. Everybody else said as a waitress or something in a hotel. Anyhow, just when I was more than fed up with that other girl, when I was 21, back comes Bertha, with airs and grace and smart clothes, a sort of bloom on her. A sort of sensual bloom that you'd see sometimes in a woman. So I took on with Bertha. And I was glad she was common. I wanted her to be common. I wanted to be common myself. Well, I married her. And she wasn't bad. Those other pure women had nearly taken all the guts out of me. But she was all right that way. She wanted me and made no bones about it. And I was as pleased as punch. That was what I wanted. A woman who wanted me to have her. So I took her. And I think she despised me a bit for being so pleased about it and bringing her breakfast in bed sometimes. She sort of let things go. Didn't get me a proper dinner when I came home from work. And if I said anything, flew at me. And I flew back, hammering tongues. She flung a cup at me, and I took her by the scruff of the neck and squeezed the life out of her. That sort of thing. But she treated me with insolence. And she's got so she's never had me when I wanted her. Never. Always put me off. Brutal as you like. And then, when she'd put me right off and I didn't want her, she'd come all lovey-dovey and get me. And I always went. But when I had her, she'd never end when I did. Never. She'd just wait. If I kept back for a half an hour, she'd keep back longer. And when I'd really finish, then she'd start on her own account. And I had to stop inside her till she finished, wriggling and shouting. She'd clutch and clutch with herself down there. And then she'd finish fair in ecstasy. And then she'd say, "That was lovely." Gradually, I got sick of it. And she got worse. She sort of got harder and harder to take. And she'd sort of tear at me down there. "Oh, by God, you think a woman's soft down there like a fig?" But I tell you, the old rampers have beaks between their legs, and they tear at you with it till you're sick. Self, self, all self, tearing and shouting. They talk about men's selfishness. But I doubt if it can ever touch a woman's blind beakishness once she's got that way. Like an old trull. And she couldn't help it. I told her about it. I told her how I hated it. And she'd even try. She'd try, but it was no good. She got no feeling off it from my working. She had to work the thing herself, grind her own coffee. And it came back on her like a raving necessity. She had to let herself go and tear, tear, tear. You know, that's how old whores used to be, so men used to say. It was a low kind of self-will in her. A raving sort of self-will, like in a woman who drinks. Well, in the end, I couldn't stand it. We slept apart. She herself had started it in her bouts when she wanted to be clear of me and when she said I bossed her. She had started having a room for herself. But the time came when I wouldn't have her coming to my room. I wouldn't. I hated it. And she hated me. My God, how she hated me before that child was born. You know, I often think that she conceived it out of hate. Anyhow, after the child was born, I left her alone. And then came the war, and I joined up. And I didn't come back.
Short summer night, I learned so much. I would have thought a woman would have died of shame, instead of which the shame died. Shame, which is fear. The deep organic shame, the old, old physical fear which crouches in the bodily roots of us and can only be chased away by the sensual fire. At last it was roused up and routed by the phallic hunt of the man. And I came to the very heart of the jungle of myself. I felt now I had come to the real bedrock of my nature and was essentially shameless. I was my sensual self, naked and unashamed. I felt a triumph, almost a vain glory. So, that was how it was. That was life. That was how oneself really was. There was nothing left to disguise or be ashamed of. I shared my ultimate nakedness with a man, another being. And what a reckless devil the man was. Really like a devil. One had to be strong to bear him. But it took some getting at. The core of the physical jungle. The last and deepest recess of organic shame. The phallus alone could explore it. And how he had pressed in on me. And how in fear I had hated it. But how I had really wanted it. I knew now. At the bottom of my soul, fundamentally, I had needed this phallic hunting out. I had secretly wanted it, and I had believed that I would never get it. Now, suddenly, there it was, and a man was sharing my last and final nakedness. I was shameless. Why are you afraid of me?
It's the money, Rain. And the position. It's the world in you.
But isn't there tenderness in me?
Aye. It comes and goes like in me.
But can't you trust it between you and me?
Maybe.
I want you to hold me in your arms. I want you to tell me you're glad we're having a child.
I ought to leave you alone.
No. Love me. Love me and say you'll keep me. Say you'll never let me go. To the world, nor to anybody.
Then I'll keep you. If you want it, then I'll keep you.
And say you're glad about the child.
I've a dread of putting children in the world. I've such a dread for the future for them.
But you put it into me. Be tender to it. And that will be its future already. Kiss me. Oh, you love me. You love me.
I stand for the touch of bodily awareness between human beings. And the touch of tenderness. And you are my mate. And it is a battle against the money and the machine and the insentient ideal monkiness of the world. And you will stand behind me there. Thank God I've got a woman. Thank God I've got a woman who is with me and tender and aware of me. Thank God you're not a bully or a fool.